Well, it's good to be here tonight. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter number 32. Book of Genesis, chapter number 32. I will take some time to develop the story that's going to take place tonight to get up to the main point that I'm wanting to get to tonight. But before we get there, we're going to see one of the world's greatest wrestling matches to ever be told in the book of the Bible. And it's in Genesis chapter number 32. I don't know about you, but I grew up watching wrestling. And this isn't a wrestling match that has taken place here, because when I grew up, I watched the wrestling that was called WWF, World Wrestling Federation. And back in the day when I was a kid, it was always the good guys against the bad guys. And my good guy was Hulk Hogan back in the day. And he always had a saying, "What you gonna do when these 24-inch pythons run all over you?" That was his saying. There's another guy that I liked to watch. His name was Randy Savage, called Macho Man. And he had a weird voice, and he always talked in a deep voice, "Can you dig it? Oh, yeah." But that's not the wrestling that we're going to be talking about tonight, because the wrestling that we're going to be talking about is a spiritual wrestling match between a man named Jacob and God. And we're going to see who comes out victorious. But there is a long story to take place with this. And we're going to read a good portion here, Genesis chapter number 32. Well, we're going to begin in verse number 24 and read down through verse number 32. But I trust that this will be a blessing to you this evening. Verse number 24 says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.' And he said to him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.' And Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?' And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, 'For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.' And as he passed over Peniel, the sun arose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon a hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched a hollow of Jacob's thigh, and the sinew that shrank." So let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to begin to go over this long story here that takes place before we get up to here. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, first of all, I want to thank you for our health that you've given us, that we take for granted so much. Lord, I just want to thank you for keeping your hand upon every single one of us, how we take life for granted. Lord, thank you for healing our bodies where we have no idea where it needs healed. Lord, tonight I pray that you'd use me to be a blessing as I speak and preach your word. Lord, I pray that it would change the hearts of men and women. Lord, I pray that you would just have your way and will in our services. Again, Lord, thank you for the time that we were able to have just a few moments ago to be able to lift our voices up and singing praises to you. Lord, I know one day soon that we are going to stand in your presence and we're going to be singing praises to you. And Lord, I know many of us in this room are looking forward to that. Lord, I pray that you just work and bless in the time that we have, and we ask it in your name. Amen. So we see a man that wrestles with God. The title of my message is, "Why Wrestle with God? Why do we put ourselves in that position?" And I've come to understand that's basically come upon our own choices in life. But we're going to go back further into the life of Jacob, where this all began. It began at a very early age for him. And it began with lies, and it began with deceits. Jacob was a man who, from the beginning of his life, was not satisfied with being second, to the point where, from birth, he grabbed the heel of his brother Esau, because he did not want Esau coming out of the womb first. So he grabs his heel to try and pull him back so that he can go first. Well, that wasn't successful. But Jacob didn't stop there. They began to grow up, began to grow old together, and began to develop a relationship with one another. And through this, Jacob began to craft on his skill of being deceitful, being trickery towards other people. And he used this to his advantage. He didn't use it to other people's advantage. He used it for his advantage of what he can gain out of life, what he could take away from people. And he was successful in that era. He would later begin in life, begin to trick and to deceive his own brother out of his own opportunities in life. And it started off with his own birthright, how he tricked his own brother Esau in selling his own birthright, which later on you'll read in Scripture where it says that Esau was hated. You ever wonder why Esau was hated? Because he rejected and despised his birthright and sold it off to Jacob. And so we see those tricks, we see those deceits begin to work on him. And so he robbed him of that. Not only did he rob him of that, but later on in life, we begin to see him rob his brother of his own inheritance, where he would go out and he would dress like his brother, where he would try to even begin to illuminate the very stench that his brother had upon his body. And not only did he do this with himself, but he also had help along the way with his mother. His mother helped him in succeeding this great plan in his life to where he can trick his own father of giving his inheritance to Jacob instead of Esau. Boy, what a shame how that brought upon his own mother. He was sly and he was skillful when it came to getting the things that he wanted in life, all so that he can gain more. Folks, one thing that we got to understand, it's not about what we gain here on earth, it's about what we gain spiritually in heaven. It's about those things. He had some things backward. He crafted his skill with the help of his mother. His mother's greatest sin, I begin thinking about this this afternoon. I believe his mother's greatest sin at this point in time in her life was showing more love and more favoritism towards Jacob than her other son Esau. I have asked my mother, I've kidded with her at times, and I've said, Mom, I understand, I'm your favorite, I get those things. I know you love me more than you love Christy, I know you love me more than you love Jeff. And those are all jokes. And one of her response that I'll never forget her telling me, she goes, Chad, I don't love you any more or any less, but the love that I have for each kid is different. And with that being said, she never shows favoritism. She never puts one above the other. It's all equal. Jacob's mother, Rebecca, at this point in time, her greatest sin in her life was showing her favoritism for Jacob rather than Esau. In my mind, what she was telling me was, hey, I love Jacob more, and I want to help him succeed, and the only way that I can help him succeed is by being able to help him craft his skill even further in life. Well, I don't think they really thought of the outcome of these things, because the outcome of the story isn't so great for Rebecca, it isn't so great for Esau, and it isn't so great for Jacob at this point in time. Remember, it was all for their advantage. And so life would begin to go on. Well, here's what took place in the life of Jacob with him tricking his way into the life of Esau, trying to get things for him, for his own benefit. He began to build up walls towards his own brother, and there became a separation between him and his brother, to the fact that his own brother, his own kin of his own flesh and blood, had a hatred in his heart towards him. And what Esau wanted to do next was to kill his own brother. That's how much hatred that he had for Jacob at this point in time in his life. His mother knew of the hatred that he had. She caught wind of it. And naturally, because of the love that she has for Jacob, what's she going to do? She's going to run to her son that she showed more favoritism to, the son that she's showing that she loves more than she loves Esau at this point in time in her life. She goes to him and she says, Jacob, thy brother Esau, he's angry with you. He's mad at you. And he's right now preparing to plan an attack on you to take your very life. And I think it's best for you, Jacob, to walk away from our family. And I want you to go into a different country that your safety would be guaranteed. And so because of his deceitfulness, because of his trickery ways, Jacob at this point in time had no idea as he walked away from his mother that would be the last time that he saw his mother alive. If Jacob was alive today, I bet you he would sit here and tell us, I wish I had a second chance at life. Because his skill that he crafted on trying to deceive and trying to trick people out of their very things in life that they acquired rightfully and naturally, he took away from them. And he used it to his advantage. But his greatest disadvantage that he had was the loss of his family at this point in time. He lost a mother who loved and cared for him. As he was sick as a young child, she'd probably lay up with him late at night, take care of his needs, all of those things that a mother would do for her child, she would do for him. He gave up that very right. He gave up the other right of honoring his father, Isaac, at this point in time. He gave up that right, and he was no longer to be able to have fellowship with his father the way that he used to when he's a young man. He gave up another right with this, with his own brother Esau, whom he had a relationship with. I don't know how strange their relationship was. I don't know of their good moments, because brothers and sisters, they do have some good moments. We're reading about a moment in life that wasn't so good for them. But he gave up his right there as well, to where that fellowship that he once had with his brother was no longer. Now he's living in fear of his life. He has to flee his very family that he loved or partially loved and go into a land that he's unfamiliar with. But he went to a land where his mother wanted him to go, and that to where was her brother, which would be his uncle Laban. Through this, there was family discourse. The family discourse took place because of the lies and the deceit that Jacob crafted in his life early on. And so for the very tricks and the games that he played on them would cause family discourse. Do you know who's reveling in this right now? Satan's reveling in this. Because his desire is to destroy and rip up a family. That's his desire. And he's excited about what's taking place. He has separated a son from his mother, a son from his father, and a brother from his brother. And he's reveling in this. He's thrilled to death with this. So the family discourse came. His brother Esau hated him, and his mom's trying to protect him away from the harm that he's trying to cause to Jacob now. And so unfortunately, Jacob had to leave his family for the very fear of his life. All this was brought upon him because of his own decisions that he decided to make early on in life. Do not sit there and think the decisions that you make when you're 10, 14, 15 years of age will not affect you when you're 30, 35, 40, 45 years of age, because it will. Your decisions that you make earlier in life will have consequences later on in life, which is why it's so important for us to make godly decisions, spiritual decisions, decisions that should not be made hastily. We should ponder on those things. We should meditate upon those things, making the correct decisions. So Jacob was leaving. His deceitfulness towards others had caught up with him, and this very thing caused this separation in life. His own decision in life to trick people, again, as I said a few moments ago, caused him to never see his mother again. I could never imagine my life without my mother. I couldn't imagine this, but he brought this upon himself. And in a sense, she aided him in this. She helped out with this situation. And so now as he's caused this family discourse, he goes to Uncle Laban's house and he meets his match. Uncle Laban was more deceitful. He used more trickery ways than Jacob could ever imagine. Well, what did he do with Jacob? Well, I'm glad you asked, because upon his arrival, Jacob sees a woman afar off. And this woman that he sees at this point in time was one of the most beautiful women that he has ever laid his eyes upon. She was so beautiful, so fair to look on, he could not take his eyes off of her, to the fact where he wanted to marry her. Long story short, he approaches Uncle Laban. He asks Uncle Laban, "Hey, Uncle Laban, can I marry thy daughter Rachel?" Uncle Laban says, "Yes." But Jacob did not know what was going to take place for the next many years of his life. He says to him, "Jacob, you can marry my daughter, but here's the stipulation. You're going to have to work for me for 7 years. Are you willing to work 7 years for your future bride?" Jacob was excited to work those 7 years for Rachel. Those 7 years were nothing to him. He was so dedicated to her at that point in time. Well, upon those 7 years, they came and they went. After the seventh year, Jacob approaches Laban and says, "Hey, Uncle Laban, I have fulfilled my time here, and now I am come to the point to where I'm ready to marry your daughter Rachel. I put in my time." And Uncle Laban says, "Sure, Jacob, here we'll have a ceremony." They had their ceremony. Little did Jacob know what was going to take place. The next morning he woke up. The veil's removed from his bride's face. And lo and behold, who did he see? He saw his sister-in-law. Should have been his sister-in-law. Laban mastered his skill, was crafted in it far better than Jacob. Jacob was furious. Jacob was mad. He didn't work those 7 years for Leah. Matter of fact, you look in Scripture, Leah wasn't good to look upon. She wasn't as beautiful as Rachel. He did not desire to be with her. He desired to be with Rachel. And so he is furious, and he goes to Uncle Laban and says, "Hey, Uncle Laban, you deceived me. You tricked me. You used me. I don't want to be married to your daughter Leah." But he honored that commitment. He stayed married to her. But Uncle Laban said, "Okay, you really want to marry my daughter Rachel? Okay, so here's what you're going to do. You're going to work for me for another 7 years." 14 years flew by in the life of Jacob. And at the end of that 14th year, Jacob was able to finally marry the woman of his dreams. And that was Rachel. But here's old Uncle Laban. Look at what happened with the life of Jacob and his deceitfulness and his trickery ways. What did it do? It ruined his family. It split him up. Now you see the effects from Uncle Laban, who honed in on his skill of deceiving people. Now he's got two daughters that are married to the same man. They're in the same household, and now they can't even get along because one's bearing children and the other can't bear children. And so anger and animosity arises between the two sisters. They're at odds with one another. And a family is divided. And so life has gone on for Jacob here. And it's still going on. His deceitfulness, Laban's deceitfulness, caused great strife between these two sisters. Which leads me to my last point that I want to get to. But before we get to it, let's turn back to the book of Genesis chapter number 32. Verse number 24, I believe, is the key verse of this chapter in my mind. It says, "And when Jacob was left alone." Jacob, up until this point, was a very busy man, always surrounded by people, surrounded by his brother, surrounded by his father, surrounded by his mother, left that family, surrounded by his uncle, surrounded by his wives, concubines, children. He was a very busy person. Now, all of a sudden, Jacob was left alone. And as at this point in time where God began to work in the life of Jacob, have no doubt, when God wants to work in your life and he wants to work in my life, he's going to get us to a place where we're all alone. And that's where he's going to speak to us, and that's where he's going to minister to our hearts and to our very lives. And so now Jacob is left alone. You and I need to have some alone time with our Father. Why do we need to have that alone time with our Father? Because that is a time for where you and I need to be corrected. That is a time where you and I need to be chastised as well. That is a time for you and I need to be showed that we're loved. And that is a time where you and I will be showed that we're cared for. This is why we need to be left alone with our Father. But while he was alone with his Father, Jacob wrestled with many things in his life. He wrestled with the fact that he was a liar. He wrestled with the fact that he was a deceitful man. He wrestled with the fact that he was a man who took advantage of people. He wrestled with those things in his mind, to the fact where it bothered him that he had walked away from his own family. He wrestled with these things. And those things have now come and they have now gone in his life. But now he's going to be in a match to where it's going to cause some physical harm to his body. It's going to bring some physical pain to him. This is a match that he's not going to prevail against. He's not going to come out victorious the way that he wants to come out. So as Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. So apparently, this wrestling match begins sometime in the evening. They went all night till the break of the day. Most guys, when they go out and they begin to train for a fight, staminally, they cannot last more than 10 to 15 minutes in a fight. There is a lot of endurance that has to take place. There's a lot of training in a fighter's life for him to keep going on further and further. And realistically, most men cannot make it that far. I've always thought that I was a good athlete. I can do this, that, and the other thing fairly well. Until one day, somebody wanted to wrestle me. And I said, okay, I will wrestle you. I have no problem with you. We're pretty much equal size. I see myself coming out victorious. Little did I know that I did not have the endurance nor the strength to out-wrestle a wrestler. They're wiser and smarter than any other fighter. They know how to put holds on you, holds that'll put you in submission, holds that'll put you in pain. Just a simple little pinch on your neck can cause pain to go down your legs. My brother Matt, he occasionally likes to come back home in the wintertime and begin to put more moves on me that they show him in prison to take their prisoners down. I said, no thanks. The last time he did it, he grabbed my thumb. It took me down right away. I don't like those things. Wrestlers are crafted in their skill. He was going up against a man who was crafted in his skill. He was outmatched. He was outnumbered. He did not have the strength nor the endurance to go up against him. So he went with him until the breaking of the day. Verse number 25, it says, and when he saw, I just lost my place. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. I've never had a shoulder out of socket. I've never had a leg out of socket. But I have known people that have experienced those things, and it brings tremendous pain to their body. Patty and Bill's son, Sean, always had a problem. I don't know if he still does this day, but his shoulder would always come out of socket. He couldn't even throw a baseball hard enough because if he threw it too hard, it would come out of socket. And I remember some occasions it would cause tremendous pain to his body. And trying to pop that shoulder back in the socket, great pain would take place in his body. So I just imagine that Jacob's thigh was out of joint. It was displaced. The pain that brought to him physically. He doesn't give in. He keeps wrestling with this man. And he said, let me go for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince thou hast power with God and with men and hast prevailed. Jacob continued to wrestle with this man. But there is a purpose in this wrestling match, why it took place. Because Jacob's very life needed to be changed. It needed to be changed. Why do we wrestle with God? Here's why Jacob wrestled with God at this point in time in his life. Jacob's life until now hasn't been glorifying to God. When you're using a craft of lying, being deceitful, trying to connive people, that's not God's way. That's Satan's way. That's man's way. So his life wasn't glorifying God. But this particular path that he was on was leading him to the greatest wrestling match of his life, to where he was going to meet God. But first of all, God had to bring him to a place, as we read in verse number 25 or 24, to where he was all alone. A place where there's no more distraction, no more deceitfulness being going behind the scenes, a place where he was all alone, and he was there. Secondly, the world's first wrestling match here was made with God and man. Thirdly, this took place because Jacob was living his life for himself. When you're a child of God and you begin to live your life for yourself, you're going to find yourself later on in life in one of the biggest wrestling matches with God. And I will tell you this, God will be victorious in that match. He will be victorious. Jacob was living his life the way he wanted to live his life. He wasn't living his life the way God intended him to live it. But here's what I see took place. As he was left alone, I see God intervening in the life of Jacob. Thank God for intervention by God. You know, I've seen a lot of shows where you have people intervene on other people's lives for drug abuse, alcoholics, or things of that nature. And that's all fine and dandy. That's good. But there's nothing better than a God-divine intervention. Because when there's a God-divine intervention, that means there's something that's going to take place. Something so supernatural, man cannot begin to understand. And God divinely intervenes in the life of Jacob. He gets him alone, and he begins a wrestling match with him. But folks, this didn't need to take place. This match that existed these years ago shouldn't have been necessary in the life of Jacob. If Jacob would have just been content with who he was instead of who he wasn't. That's what bothered him the most. He wasn't content with the very man that he was. And so he tried to do things to change that very thing. We don't need to wrestle with God. And the reason why we wrestle with God is because we think our way is better than his way. And we're constantly battling God. We're constantly going against his will because we think that our way is much better and our way is going to prevail. Our way is going to benefit us much more than God's way is going to. And that's not even true. That's a lie from Satan. God's way is so much better than our way. Constantly, here's what takes place in the life of people, and unfortunately, constantly people are going against the very will of God. Well, how do we know it's God's will when you're not doing your will? That's how we know when it's God's will. We don't need to go against the very will of God in our life and how He designed our life to be. He designed our life to be better than what we make it. But unfortunately, we're not satisfied. We're not content. And we will be like Jacob, and we will begin to connive, and we will begin to deceive people to get the very things that we want in life. And that's not God's way. And we don't need to wrestle with God. Well, how can we avoid this in our life? Simply by giving in to the will of God in your life. All you have to do is surrender. All you have to do is submit your life to Him, to let Him guide your life the way that He wants to guide your life. Jacob could have saved himself so much heartache in life. He could have had a great relationship with his mother until the day that she passed from the earth. He could have had a great foundation and relationship with his brother. Just imagine two brothers that are together, that are that can coexist together and live together. Man, the changes that they can make in a community. But two brothers who are separate and at odds with each other can cause a lot of harm. I know for a fact that Jacob wanted something different than this. He would have wanted, man, I wish I could have taken time back. I wish I could go back in time and seek my mother for forgiveness and to bringing her into my schemes. I wish I could go back and seek forgiveness from my father and trying to deceive him. Showing him that I was something that I wasn't. I wish I could go back in time and begin to express my gratefulness towards my brother instead of expressing my hatred towards him. See, this is all something that he could have avoided if he would have just gave in to the very will of God in his life instead of trying to create his own will in his own life, trying to create his own way in life, trying to pave his own way in history. So we can avoid this by simply giving in to the will of God in your life. What did this do for Jacob? Well, it caused a lifetime of hurt. A lifetime of hurt and hurting others can be avoided if it wasn't for our own ignorance in life. We bring it upon ourselves. Chad, you saying I'm ignorant? Yes, I'm saying you're ignorant tonight if you're trying to fulfill your own will in life instead of the will of God in your life. We wrestle with God because we choose to. Jacob wrestled with God because it was his choice. But it could have been avoided just by simply giving into the will of God. He didn't have to deal with a heartache. Without a doubt, there's a lot of people that are in this church right now who wish they can go back in time, begin to express and seek forgiveness from other people and how they mistreated them and how they misbehaved towards them for their own benefit in life. We don't have do-overs, but what we do have is right now. And we got to make the best of right now. Give in to the will of God. Submit your will to Him and say, God, I realize in order for me to save my heartache in life, in order to save me from a wrestling match with You, here's my life. Take it, use it to glorify You. Remove my will, remove my way, and let me be the servant that I need to be for You. Jacob could have had a whole different outcome. But he missed out on a lot of life because of one decision. What was that one decision? He decided early on that second best wasn't good enough for him. He grabbed onto the heel of his brother and said, I'm coming first. You and I need to be content where we're at. And that's what Jacob's problem was. He was not content. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, we again thank You for the day that You've given us to be able to learn from Your Word. Lord, I thank you for working in my heart this week with the life of Jacob. Lord, I know that I myself have been a man who's been deceitful, been a man who's used lies to get things that I've wanted for my own personal gain. Lord, I seek your forgiveness now. Lord, I ask you bless the remainder of this time we have together. In your name, amen.